In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Today we continue our journey onward toward Bethlehem with eager expectation to greet the babe in the manger. We anticipate the birth of our Savior as we approach the celebration of the Feast of Nativity that is coming to us. The Nativity is a wonderful banquet that has been prepared for us. We prepare ourselves to enter that banquet. We must give that feast the honor that it deserves. We must give Christ the time that he deserves. We must prepare ourselves to welcome him with hearts filled with praise. And the gospel text today is especially helpful in our process of preparation because it's all about that great heavenly banquet. It's all about preparing for the feast that is coming. That banquet must be a priority in our lives. That heavenly banquet is indeed an awesome and wondrous event. It's an opportunity unlike any other. This is a feast that God himself has prepared. And we have received an invitation to participate in this feast. We have the invitation, and we must respond to the invitation. We come to the feast rather than making our excuses of why we need to stay away. And certainly as we hear this parable this morning, the feast of the parable primarily represents that great heavenly banquet that awaits us and the kingdom that is to come. It reminds us of the importance of the kingdom of heaven. It instructs us how we are to make the kingdom of heaven our greatest priority, our greatest concern. But this parable has layers to it, and this feast certainly has other ideas that can be understood here as well. The feast of the parable also represents the Eucharistic feast, which is available to us. The Eucharist, which is a foretaste of that heavenly feast that is to come. The Eucharist that is itself in the kingdom of heaven. And today, I think it's applicable for us to consider to a lesser degree the parable is reminding us of the coming Feast of Nativity. It too is a wonderful banquet filled with heavenly blessings. It too is a revelation of the kingdom of heaven. And in each of these cases, on each of these passage is essentially the in each of these manifestations of the kingdom of heaven, our responsibility remains the same. The banquet is a great and wondrous event that deserves our preparation and our participation. The invitation to that banquet is not to be taken lightly, to be disregarded, to be taken for granted. But rather, with all the gratitude that we can muster, we are to respond to that invitation and participate. What happens in the parable? The invitations are sent out to the guest list. When the banquet day finally comes and all the preparations are complete and the banquet is underway, it's made ready, the time of the banquet is at hand, it's then that the excuses are offered. And one by one they come in, why the different individuals on the guest list are not able to come. Well, certainly, as we see this part of the parable, we recognize the application in our life. It's true that some things to some people are simply more important than the kingdom of heaven. It's true in the grand scheme of life that there are plenty of people that fill their life with plenty of things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. But it's also true on these other levels that we've considered as well, these other levels to this feast of the parable. It's true when it comes to the Eucharistic feast. On any given time that there's a liturgy being served, there is any number of excuses that Orthodox Christians give who are absent, why they're not there, why something else is more important than the Eucharistic feast that is before us. And it's also true when it comes to the Feast of Nativity. People often find a variety of excuses why they need to do something else or be somewhere else rather than enter into the real celebration of Nativity found in the services of the feast day. For us, the response must be one of gratitude. We can't take this invitation lightly. We can't take it for granted. We must receive it with gratitude, with our whole heart. And we must prepare our hearts to enter into the celebration of the Nativity Feast. You know, the modern celebration of Christmas is often criticized in the modern world. It's often recognized the problems that are in our present observation of this holiday. People will offer the fact that it's an over-commercialized event, that the desire for stuff, the greed grips our hearts and takes over. how marketing targets that greed and our desires for things, and how the whole season turns essentially this holy event and turns that attention away from that to buying stuff. Think about the excuses that are given in the parable today. Two of the three that are given involve the promise of economic gain. Buying a field and buying five yoke of oxen, these weren't things to look at. This wasn't art for the home. You know, it wasn't a field he was going to sit and ponder. It was a field he was going to plant. There was economic promise of economic gain. By gaining this field, he was gaining wealth to himself. And likewise, the oxen were going to increase productivity and thus increase the bottom line. In a sense, they're driven by that greed for more, to make more, to own more, to have more. The hope of an increased profit margin ultimately replaces their need to participate in the banquet. Many times I have heard how difficult it is to live a Christian life in the modern world, and certainly it has its challenges. And likewise, the counterpart of that, or the explanation of that when you're living in a Christian life, is how difficult it is to raise Christian children in the context of the modern world. And you know, I think when we enter seasons like this, this is especially relevant. And our approach to the challenges of our culture is essentially the same as our approach towards avoiding vice and going after virtue in our lives. Just consider that process for just a moment, how it is personally, the struggle against the vices and the passions and the sins, and the struggle toward the virtue that is available in Christ. If we discover pride or anger, gluttony, greed, whatever passion, whatever sin besets us, whatever passion is at work in us, the solution to taking care of that passion is not seeking to eradicate it as though it's a weed that needs to be plucked from our heart. Because that strategy is no strategy at all. It never works. We can't just simply say, I'm going to get rid of pride. I'm going to get rid of anger. I'll never be proud again. I'll never be angry again. It simply doesn't work. It never has and it never will. And essentially, we're focusing on the sin and giving the sin more power than it really ultimately has by focusing on it, by making the sin the target and removing that sin. What's to go in the vacuum, even if we were successful? We're not to create a vacuum in our heart. You see, what we need to do is we need to focus on, rather than the sin, we need to focus on the opposite virtue. And that is the target. What is good is what we go after. We make the good what we target, you see. And the ultimate reality of our lives is our heart is only so large. It only can contain so much. And so if we pursue actively what is good, guess what happens? Good starts to get into our heart, and guess what? The evil, the sin, the passions, they're displaced naturally by the good, the virtue that we are seeking to gain. And so our approach is always toward virtue, not simply eradicating sin, because it's a foolhardy method. It's a strategy that doesn't work. The right strategy, is going after that opposite virtue that we can do. So if we discover that we're struggling with pride, what we can do is we can humble ourselves. If we discover we have an issue with anger, what we can do is we can seek meekness. We can seek the peace that comes from God. We can walk in self-control. And any of the sins that we want to name, there is an opposite virtue that we can seek to acquire in our life and focus upon. And so back to the context of the present nativity and the criticism that could be offered, certainly we recognize American greed has taken hold of this holiday season. And American greed is not something to be avoided simply in the nativity season. American greed is something that we should not be possessing, we shouldn't allow to take root in our hearts at any time of the year. But we don't battle it by saying, I'm not going to be greedy. And we don't battle it by making somebody over there the target, or making society at large the issue at hand. Rather, we battle it right here in our hearts by simply focusing on what is the opposite virtue. And so what should we focus on during this season as we prepare for nativity? Instead of greed, instead of stuff, let's focus on the opposite virtue, which is gratitude and generosity. We need to learn to be thankful for what we have, and we need to learn from what we have to give. And by doing these things, acquiring these virtues, greed doesn't have its, any stronghold in us, because gratitude, giving thanks to God, has replaced that. Gratitude is such an essential quality of the Christian life. It's the very basic, fundamental aspect of our spiritual existence. Without gratitude to God, without giving thanks to God, where are we as Christians? What are we doing? What is our life all about? We are off course. We are off the foundation that we should be upon. So we need to learn the art of gratitude. And we need to teach our children to be grateful. We need to learn the great blessing of giving. And we need to teach our children what a blessing it is to give. See, that's how we battle the secular nature of this season that is before us. By emphasizing gratitude to God, by giving thanks to God, by giving to the church, to charitable causes, to individuals who are in need. Gratitude and generosity is what our focus becomes. There is a great and awesome banquet that is prepared for those who love God. And we have received an invitation to that banquet. Let us not take that invitation for granted. Let us not offer our various excuses as we get wrapped up in the cares of this world. Let us rather respond appropriately in gratitude at the coming feast. The Feast of Nativity indeed draws near to us. Let us not lose focus on what really matters. Let us not be drawn into the cares of this world, the pursuit of stuff. Let us prepare rather our hearts for the Feast of the Nativity. Let us give thanks to God for the invitation that He offers to us. Let us prepare our hearts by gratitude, by gratefully giving thanks to God. Let us prepare our hearts by giving. These virtues of gratitude and generosity prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord and Savior, to receive our Lord and Savior. For we must remember, He not only comes to be born in Bethlehem, but ultimately, He comes to be born anew in us, to be born in the manger of our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.